I want to speak to you this evening, and this is part two of the message that I brought probably about a week and a half ago on the goodness of the Lord. Point number one we looked at is the reality that God is good. This attribute of God is the fact that God is good, which means His nature is good, and because His nature is good, His actions are good. And His good actions fill, and this is our second point, an infinitely deep reservoir of goodness, a body of benevolence that includes, under this reservoir of goodness, His great provision. In God's goodness, He created not only you and me, but He created everything for you and me, which we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, which says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you which shall be for meat, and to every beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." And of course, this tells us that the creation story confirms the fact of God's provision, God's benevolence towards us. But also we see in this reservoir of God's goodness, His patience. "For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And how long God waits for us. How patient, long-suffering God is. I think of my own life and just some of the areas where He has been working on me for years. And you know what? I'm still not where I need to be. But He's still patiently is working in my heart, the patience that we see because of the goodness of the Lord. Then third, and this is where I kind of want to pick up the message tonight, then third in this reservoir of divine goodness, we find God's purpose. We find God's provision in this reservoir, we find His patience, and we find His purpose. I want us to pray, and then if you would, turn to Romans chapter 8. So let's pray, and then we'll turn to a familiar verse in Romans chapter 8. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, that we serve not an angry God, not a vindictive God, but a good God. And Lord, might we recognize Your goodness, and might it be a catalyst in our lives to cause us even more to want to fear You, to want to honor You, reverence You, respect You, obey You. Lord, grant it, and in Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 8, we find a really famous verse, verse 28, which I'm sure many of you have put to memory, which says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to," what's the last word? "His purpose." And what is God's purpose? Well, God's purpose is declared in His will, a will that can be described as being conformed to the image of His dear Son. God's purpose, His will, is that we model Christ. And this purpose comes to pass through all things working together for our good and God's glory. God's goodness is experienced as we allow the Spirit of God to so order our steps that everything that happens has a purpose, which is you and me becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I, on a daily basis, seek to be in God's will, then that will, then God orchestrates the events of that day to mold us, to shape us into Christ-likeness. So really, if I can And I'm not being trite when I say this, but really at the end of the day, at the end of each day, we should be more like Christ than we were at the beginning of that day. The fact that we've had another 24 hours, so to speak, of God working in us, God refining us, God bringing His will to pass in our life, which is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. I say, what goodness that is. Whether it is, and as I said, God works all these things that come into our lives, whether it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, God's goodness so constructs our path that through all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him that loved us. Usually for people, when they go through tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, it's a negative in their lives. It's something that brings them down. It's something that really brings a destruction to them. But when we are being controlled by God's will, fulfilling His purpose in our lives, even the negatives of life, God brings good from. Overwhelmingly, we are conquerors through Him who loved us. Seeming defeat is turned into matchless victory. So I ask, how can you improve on that purpose for your life? God has not only made us physically in His image, but He is now making us morally and spiritually like Him as well. How good God is to us. God's goodness, found in His ultimate purpose, is a will that produces an eternal divine transformation. You know, I think it's good if you have a close friend, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent. I think it's good every once in a while to just ask that person, I mean, do you see God working in my heart? I mean, are you seeing transformations taking place? Are you seeing positive things in my life? Maybe you didn't see a month ago. Maybe you didn't see 6 months ago. You know, I think sometimes if we're just talking to ourselves, and I know Will said we need to talk to ourselves, and we need to, but I think if we're just talking to ourselves, sometimes I think we can paint more of a rose-colored picture, amen? But when we can have someone in our lives that we can trust and say, could you tell me really where you think I am? I think it's a very good thing that we are experiencing this divine transformation. I say, be pliable clay in the potter's hands. It's worth it. It's worth it. Pray, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And God's refining fire will do its thing. Now, what should be our response to this reservoir of reality? The goodness of the Lord, seen in His provision, His patience, and the purpose He has for our lives. Well, we come to our third main point. We have here in this study the reality that God is good, the reservoir of God's goodness, and then what should be our response to this goodness. And the first of two responses is we should have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Now, the Bible has some good things to say about our attitude of gratitude. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with, and what's the next word? Thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What is Paul saying here? It is a sin not to enjoy the goodness of God. It is a sin to forbid to marry, to command to abstain from meats. It's a sin to deny and pervert his goodness, as these people, Paul declares, were doing. The point is we should enjoy God's goodness more than anyone else, because we know the Creator, we know the giver of all this goodness. A Christian should enjoy his life the most. After all, don't we have the real thing? Don't we really have life? As Christ promised us that we would have not only life, but more abundant life. So a Christian, contrary to what the world might tell us, that, you know, they're the ones that are enjoying life, a Christian honestly should enjoy life the most. Now, taking this step or thought a step further, we should enjoy God's goodness with gratitude. Notice again verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, which tells us we as Christians acknowledge that all good things come from God's generous hand, His gracious, merciful hand, by thanking Him for them. Let me say that again. We as Christians acknowledge that all good things come from God's generous, gracious, merciful hand by thanking Him for them. God, I know this good thing comes from Your goodness, and therefore I say thank You. And it might not be necessarily good from the world's perspective, but remember God's purpose. He's working all things for good to those of us who love Him. That means there's nothing that you have to throw away in your life. You don't have throwaway days. You don't have throwaway weeks. You don't have a year, boy, I sure messed up. I sure wasted that year. Or I sure wasted, you know, my teenage frame or teenage years. Or my college, boy, I just messed it up royally. You don't have to look back on your life and say, boy, I wish I had those years to do over. We recognize God's purpose in our lives, and we allow His will to come to pass, and in the process we acknowledge that by saying thank You for what You're doing. God, I know this good thing comes from Your goodness, and therefore I say thank You. And when we do have such a attitude of heart, we sanctify, we set apart those good things for God's glory. We identify them in the realm of the divine. And so we really can look at whatever God allows into our lives as His purpose. He has a reason for why He is allowing these things to take place. And they have a sanctifying effect upon our lives. But oftentimes, how ungrateful we are. We've had two dogs since we've lived here in Georgia. The first dog was named Gunner, and that was Andrew's dog, and the second dog was named Dixie, and that was Anthony's dog. So I'm going to refer to Dixie, but I could refer to both Gunner and Dixie. But Do you know what? We fed Dixie every day. We provided a fenced-in backyard in which Dixie could roam every day. And I mean, if you've ever been to our house, you know it's a pretty good-sized backyard. There's even a pond behind our yard. So if Dixie wanted to look through the shadow box fence and see the pond, he was able to do that. So he had a good view, so to speak. We provided a garage for him to sleep in every night. Gunner was not a house dog. He was a garage dog, okay? Is that cruelty to animals? Am I okay with that? If you have dogs in your house, fine. I mean, that's your call. But he slept either in the garage or if he wanted to go outside at night, look at the stars, he could do so. And yet, and I say this honestly, yet never once did Dixie come to me and say thank you. I mean, it cost us money to have Dixie a part of our family. When we'd go out of town, we'd board him at one of the kennels, $10 a day. I can remember numbers of times paying $90, $100. Dixie was always glad to see us, but he never said thank you. Never did. Never said thank you for the food. He never said thank you for the fenced-in yard that protected him. That roof over his head at night, he never said thank you. And you say, well, Pastor, come on, he's a dog. He can't talk. And you're right, but we can. We can. And yet how little thanks we really do give to the Lord who is so good to us, who provides us with food, protection, shelter. I confess the magnitude of God's provision. I know Anthony just came back from China. And I've been to China. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Kunming, where they had all that stabbing. If you remember that, it was just in the news. I've been to Kunming. I've never been to Beijing, but I've been to China. And you know what? We have it really good compared to people in China. Really good. The magnitude of God's provision. But too often, our attitude is one of, well, we deserve this. We deserve more. I don't have what so-and-so has. Which really is a reflection of the entitlement mentality of this land, which, by the way, is destroying this country. It's destroying this country. And then we wonder why we're not happy. Then we wonder why we don't get what we think we deserve and how we murmur and complain. And I say how really pathetic we are. And then coupled with an attitude of ingratitude is a stingy heart. A heart that gives not out of the first fruits, but what is left over. For when God is not at the center of our will be, and self always hoards, self always protects. Self does not give, self takes, self keeps. Can I put it this way? Poor giving reflects an ungrateful heart. You find a grateful heart, and you'll find a generous heart. Oh, how we need to grasp verses like Psalm 31:19, which says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. I think that's pretty good stuff. That's goodness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And thus we sing, all I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And every day, as we reflect on this reality of the reservoir of God's goodness, seen in His provision, seen in His patience. Has God been patient with you lately? Seen in His purpose. Should we not express, should not our response be one of thankfulness? Another day, another opportunity to say thank you. Another day in which we count our many blessings. Another day in which we faithfully give back what God has so lovingly given to us. And then not only should our response to God's goodness be an attitude of gratitude, but an attitude of worship. I want you to turn to Psalm 107. I want to read verses 1 through 8 for you. Verse 1 tells us, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and hath gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Notice verse 8, Oh, that man would, what's the next word? Praise the Lord for His what? Goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. God says to those of us that He has redeemed from the land of the enemy, to those that He has gathered out of the lands from the east, the west, the north, the south, come together and praise My name for My goodness, for My wonderful works to the children of men. Gather to praise Me. Which, my friend, is what? It's worship. Now, someone will always say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I agree. Going to church, being a church member, doesn't make you or anyone a Christian. But if you are a grateful Christian who recognizes the goodness of the Lord, you will want to sing His praise. I promise you, you will want to sing His praise and glorify His name in a corporate setting. You will want to be with God's people. You'll want to sing together, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I want to be with God's people. I am not a lone ranger when it comes to my Christianity. I love being with you. I want to be with you. I think one of the grandest points of my week is when we together are singing praise to God. We sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. One day a Puritan was sitting down to a meal of bread and water. Now most of us, if that was all that was set before us, we would say, God, I only have bread and water. But this Puritan looked down at his plate and said, bread, water, and Jesus Christ too, what more? What more can a man ask? Praise is not complete until it has been expressed. And the goodness of the Lord gives us ample opportunities to express an attitude of gratitude along with an attitude of worship, of praise. The goodness of the Lord. We've looked at its reality, the fact that God is good. We've looked at its reservoir, that God's goodness can be marked by provision, by patience, by purpose. And we've looked tonight at our response to the goodness of the Lord, which is twofold, thanksgiving and worship. I say he is worthy of all our praise.